Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Daled Amud Bet. Gemara is continuing the discussion from yesterday with regards to the Achim, splitting up the estate. We said yesterday that the case in the Mishnah depends on whether the brothers are just managing the estate intact, or have they divided the estate and then repooled their assets afterwards. And the difference will be whether they're classified as a single entity. If they're classified as a single entity, then they will be chayav in meiser beheima, but they'll be patur min akul bon. On the other hand, if they divide the estate and then repool their assets, they'll be like partners. If they're partners, then they're patur min maser beheima, but they will be chayav in kul bon. So now we have a question that's being posed in the second to last line there, which is Rabbi Chizkiya Amar. So Rabbi Chizkiya says that Rabbi Yirmiya Bai. Rabbi Yirmiya asked the following question, which is Valama late nan amrinon. And again, in the Yerushalmi, nan means anan. Why don't we say pamim shehem chayavim bazeu bazeh? There are instances where the brothers can be chayav both in maaser v'hema and in kulbon. Upeamim shehem p'turim mizeh bazeh. And there are times when they are patur from both. That's the end of the question. Now the Gemara asks, Heich Avida. Heich Avida is Heichidami. What is the case that Rabbi Yirmiyah is speaking about? Where is his question derived from? So here you have in parentheses, we can skip it, it doesn't really matter. The next piece has a different lashon. They're basically after the same idea, which is Chilku hanichasim velo chilku habehema. What happens if they subdivided, whether it's the money or anything besides the animals, property, everything else they subdivided, but they did not divide up the behema? Then chayavim bazeh ubazeh. Then they're chayav in both of them. They're chayav now in maaser behema because they never subdivided the estate with regards to the behemot. Behemot are still under a single ownership, the ownership of the estate. On the other hand, when it comes to the kulbon, from the monetary side, they subdivided the estate and then repooled their assets. In that case, they're chayavin in kulbon because they're seen as separate entities, and two separate entities who bring a shekel together have to give a kulbon. So that'd be a case of chayavin, bazeh, ubazeh. Right? Chilku abehema. They subdivided the animals and then repooled them. Velo chilku ad nichasim. But they left all the, whether it's the money or any of the other items, they left intact in the estate. Then piturim mizeh mizeh. Then they'd be exempt from both of them. Maaser behema, because they are now partners. So since they pulled their assets, they're partners. Or it's because they subdivided, according to Rabbi Yochanan, now they're the kuchot. So they're piturim maaser behema. And in terms of kulbon, they're patur because they left the estate intact with regards to the money. And when they have a single person paying for them, you don't have to give the kulbon. So now, Amar Rabbi Mano. Rabbi Mano now qualifies that and says, Hada da'at amar, that which you said, the case when you said, B'shelo haita behema rov. That's only when the behema is not the majority. Avalim haita behema rov, hein hein ikar nechasim. Then you can't separate between the two. You can't say that 70% of the estate is animals, and there's 30% that's other stuff. Now, we subdivided the animals. Okay, so we subdivided the animals, but the nechasim, the money that comes out of the estate, is still together. Well, the nechasim then are irrelevant, because the animals are the nechasim in the end. They're the majority of the estate. They're really the value of the estate. And if they are the value of the estate, once you subdivide them, you've subdivided the estate in its entirety. Whatever's left behind is not really considered to be the whole part or part of the estate. It's no longer there's nechasim separate from behema. They have to be of significant size, each one of them, to be counted separately and not independently. Obviously, behema can always be independent because it's about the behema. But to consider nechasim separate, it would only be in a case where the behema wasn't so big that it was the nechasim of the estate. No, no answer to the question about why the Mishnah did not mention these cases. We have it here that Rabbi Yirmiyah asks a question. In the Bavli, Rabbi Yirmiyah is brought down as making a statement. And he says, Pamim chayav bezeh bezeh. Pamim patur bezeh bezeh. Pamim chayav bezeh patur bezeh. And pamim patur bezeh chayav bezeh. And he gives you all the four cases. So the Gemara Bavli brings Rabbi Yirmiyah as a statement, a fact. Over here, the Yerushalmi has him as posing the question versus the Mishnah. Rabbi Abon, who was a fifth generation Amora, he had the same thing Rabbi Mano, who asked the previous question, also fifth generation Amora. And then Amar Rabbi Shammai, who was fourth, fifth generation Amora boy, he asked this question. Mipnei shasitem kadam echad itzel maaser behema at potro min hakulbon. Just because you made him into one individual with regards to maaser behema, therefore, you exempted him from the kulbon. So why are the two necessarily correlated? And his question is, why are the two necessarily correlated? Just because you consider them the estate to be one for Maaser Behema, that you have to give Maaser Behema, why all of a sudden are you patur min a kulbon? That means if Reuben and Shimon, two brothers, go ahead, they have the estate, they keep the estate intact, they're managing the estate. Reuben goes home, takes a sela out of his house, and pays for the shkalim. All of a sudden you're going to say, patur min a kulbon? That's the question of Rabbi Shammai. But he's saying just because they have this partnership in the estate where they're a single entity, does that mean that all their money, all their possessions become a single entity? So Amalei, lo shan yahi, shunotein sela achad shleima. It's a case where they gave one sela. It's one sela together. It only works when, number one, the assets are pooled, and number two, when the assets that are pooled are making the payment. So he says, me'ata, afilu chilku, so in that case, why does it make a difference whether they are giving a single sela out of the estate versus if they're giving a single sela after they subdivide the estate and then re-pool their assets into a partnership? So over there, it should be upturim mina kulbon. They should be patur from the kulbon. Vitaninan, in our Mishnah says, chayavim bekulbon upturim mimaser beima. But our Mishnah says, no, in that case, you are chayav bekulbon upturim mimaser beima. If that's the case, well, then why, when you subdivide and rejoin together, we say you have to pay for kulbon in that case? How come you're not exempt in that case from the kulbon? The Gemara leaves it unresolved, doesn't address the issue, but says that that explanation is not sufficient because it doesn't match with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says in that case you are chayav in kulbon, and you're suggesting the way you're presenting it, you should be patur from kulbon. And there's no answer to that question. The Gemara leaves it unresolved here, that the explanation is not full enough to cover or explain our Mishnah. All right, Rabbi Ba B'Shem Abba Barav Huna. So Rabbi Abba says, in the name of Abba Bar Rav Huna, so here you have a case of a third generation Amora who's quoting a Amora from Bavel, who's a second, third generation Amora in Bavel. So here you have some of that cross-pollination, where you have somebody from Eretz Yisrael quoting someone in Bavel. Told you that generally that happens in the second and third generation of the Amoraim. That's where you start to see some of that movement between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. We know because we have people bringing Memrot from Rabbi Yochanan, who is the second generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael. He, Shnei Achim, Sheyashu et Aviem, two brothers that inherited their father. He, Shnei Gisim, Sheyashu et Chamehen. Two brothers that inherit their father is equivalent to that. Two brother-in-laws that inherit their father-in-law. So here in the Yushalmi, it's always unclear as to whether he's making a statement, and therefore he's making a statement of fact, which is two brother-in-laws that inherit their father-in-law are the equivalent of two brothers that inherit their father, or is he posing it as a question? Are two brother-in-laws that inherit their father-in-law similar to two brothers who inherit? It depends how you read it. It depends how you intonate it. If you intonate it as a statement or as a question, it seems to be that it's a statement, although you just as easily could read it as a question. Next question says a little bit along the lines, David, of your question before, which is, Leikan hayu akubanot noflim. To where, Leikan, how did the kubanot go? Now that you paid these kubanot to the Mikdash, what happens to them? It's a five-way machloket. Rabbi Meir Omer, Lishkalim. They just get it on. To the Shkalim, this is Rabbi Meir Lishitato, who thinks that the kubon there is to make up the deficit in the Chatzi Shekel. So since that's the case, they go into the pool with the rest of the Shkalim. Rabbi Lazar, which in the Yushami is Elazar, Omer, Lindava. It goes to the pool of money that's used to bring Karbanot Olah when the Bizbeach is idle. So they use it towards that pool of money. B'Shimon Shizuri Omer, they take it for Rikuyei Pachim. So they use it at the pound out the metal, to use it as plating for the Beit Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Kodesh HaKodeshim was plated with gold, and they used these coins to pay for that plating, for beautifying the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Benazai Omer, Shulchanim Ayu Notlim Motan Bischaran. Benazai says, as we've been explaining until now, that the Kubanot were paid out as fees to the money changers for breaking down the coins from a whole shekel down to a machatzita shekel. V'yosharmim lotzat derachim. And some say it was to pay the shulchanim because they used to set up shop in the Medina at first, out in the cities, and then they used to take those shkalim or chatzish shkalim and bring them up to Yerushalayim. So they have expenses for moving the money from wherever they are, or setting up shop where they are and bringing it up. So we paid them to take care of those expenses. So those are different opinions as to what they did with these korbanot. And with that, we complete the first parak of Shkalim. And now we move into the second parak in Shkalim. Second parak in Shkalim begins, Mitzarfim Shkalim LeDarkonot. You're allowed to consolidate up the Chatzi Sheker LeShkalim into Darkonot. Darkonot are larger, much larger coins. Mipnei Masui HaDerech. Because of the weight, you have to bring these up to Yerushalayim. It's a significant burden. If you can consolidate the smaller coins onto larger coins, it would ease the ability to go up to Yerushalayim. So that's true. We are allowed to do this. Same thing in Maaser Sheni. You can consolidate a Maaser Sheni as well. You're allowed to, when you bring up the monies to Yerushalayim, if you come from further away, then you're allowed to consolidate that item up. Later on in the Mishnayot, the Gemara discusses the fact that there were three times a year when they did the Trumat HaLishka, that the first two Trumot came from the Chatzi Shekel, and the third Trumat came out of Darkonot. So Darkonot, meaning that they were the people who came from a long distance, and the long distance, so they came with these larger coins, which opens the question as to when they came back to Yerushalayim, did they subdivide them again into Achatzi Shekel? So according to some, they did. They took the Darkonot just to facilitate the travel. When they got to Yerushalayim, they brought them back, or they transferred them back into Achatzi Shekel, based on what we see later on, that there was a whole kupah of just Darkonot. Sounds like they didn't transfer them back into Chatzi Shekel, that they gave them in as Darkonot in that way. Okay, Shem Shayu Shofarot B'Migdash. Just like they were stuck-up boxes in the Migdash. Shofarot, we discussed this before, is the equivalent of stuck-up box. It's a shofar because it's narrow on one end and wide on the other end. Narrow on the end that you insert it, wide at the bottom where it collects it, so people can't stick their hand in and take out what they put in. So therefore they had these shofarot, which the Mishnayot and Shkalim did later on. This is not really from our parak. Later on, it will discuss what's on those shofarot. It's only brought here because kacha yu shofarot b'medina, to tell us that they had the same setup in the medina, meaning they had these boxes for shkalim, collection pushka boxes out in the cities where you put in your machatzit hashekel. Bnei ha'ir sheshalchu et shikleim, bnei ha'ir who sent their chatzit shekel, and unfortunately on the way v'nignivu, they were stolen. O shabdu. Or they were lost. So the shlichim are taking them up to Yerushalayim, and something happens to them. Im nitrumah ha-truma, if they already were mafrish the truma from the trumat alishka, which the first one is on the first of Nisan, then nishba'in legizbarim. The shlichim then take their shvu'ah to the gizbarim, to the treasurers, because the machatzit shekel has already been acquired by Hektesh. When it's acquired by Hektesh, it's really property of Hektesh. So the people that they have to resolve the issue with is the gizbarim. Vimlav, had they yet to do the trumat alishka, then nishba'im levnei ha'ir. Then the parties that they're responsible to are the people of the city. Ubnei Ha'ir shuklim tachtehem. And then the Bnei Ha'ir have to replace the machatzit shekel because their first ones didn't get to Yerushalayim. Nimtzu'u og shechzirum hagdenavim. If they're found or the thieves return the money. Eilu ve'elu shkalim. Then the old ones, I mean the original ones are shkalim, and the new ones are shkalim. Ve'en olim lahem l'shana haba. But they can't use this as a credit for next year. That they have to give in both. Both go into the pool of shkalim, but they get no credit for next year, so they basically lose out in paying double. And now the Gemara asks a question. If you want to consolidate, I have a better way to consolidate, which is v'yasu otam margaliot. Why don't you put them onto diamonds or to precious gems? Because then you can consolidate them further. They're worth more money than the darkonot. And then you can lighter and you can take them up to Yerushalayim. Gemara answers, shema tazil hamargiliot. Because maybe the value of these diamonds or gems will depreciate. V'nimsa hekdesh mafsid. And therefore, hekdesh will lose out. So the assumption of the Gemara is that there is price volatility within objects that you buy, within things like diamonds and precious gems, but not within coins. That the currencies were relatively stable. They did devalue or revalue the currencies at certain points in time, but that was very rare. So in general, the currencies held their position. The assumption was they were stable, the currencies, and what was moving was the prices of the objects that you buy. The price of food was changing. The price of the precious gems or diamonds were changing. Now, obviously, you could be the other way around, that all the items are stationary and the currency is moving, but the way they viewed things is that the currency, it was very stable, and happens to be true in their time that the gold and silver remained at a very stable level. volatility that we see today in gold and silver is a much newer phenomenon. So they moved off the gold standard, that became more prevalent because they became a currency instead of being a stable value. While you're on the gold standard, that means gold is the standard and everything's referenced to it, so it has a pretty stable value. Everything else is moving relative to gold. As soon as you free the currency from gold, then it becomes no different than any other commodity or any other currency, which is that its value moves relative to everything else. So here again, they view their currency as being the stable value, stable store of value, and everything else is moving in price. Similar to what we have in the Mishnah and Bechorot, v'kulan nifdim b'kesef u'b'shvei kesef. You can redeem everything with money or money equivalents. Chutz mishkalim, except for the shkalim, v'ein podim b'kelim. According to the Gra, we leave that piece out, v'ein podim b'kelim. But the most important part of this is chutz mishkalim. Shkalim you can't redeem on shvei kesef. We have to redeem that onto other currency in order to maintain its value. Va'amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yitzchak, shema yazilu hakelim. We worry about the fact that there might be a change in the value of the objects that you place them on. And v'nimtza ekdesh mafsid. So therefore, efsir mafsid. Uf hacha nami. So, so too over here, Zav Hachanami, Shema Tazila Margaliot, Benimsa Ekse, Ishmafsid. So over here, the jewels, the diamonds might go down in value, and Hekdesh will lose out. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss the Mishnah itself, and it says about the Mishnah, Matnita Betaklin Chantin. Our Mishnah is speaking about a case where they are coming to pay for the new shekel, the shekel of the current year or the upcoming year. Aval Betaklin Atikin. When it comes to the old Chatzi Shekel, I mean, if they're in arrears and they're now sending it up to Yerushalayim, Lo Bedah, Matani Kain, and we have a Tanaic work that supports that, Atikin B'Migdash, Fein Atikin B'Medina, that they only set up shop and stucco boxes in the Medina with regards to the new Shekel, the collection for the upcoming year. But if you were in arrears and you hadn't paid your last year's Chatzi Shekel, now you bring it up, there's only a place for that in the Migdash. So in the Migdash, there were two boxes. One box that said new shekel, one box that said old shekel. One for the upcoming year, one for the arrears. In the Medina, there was only one box, which was Taklin Charedin, only the new shekelim that they collected there. So now, Matznitan, the Gemara says now, again, it's a new topic. Yerushalmi doesn't tell you that, but now we're in a new topic. We've done two topics, this is the third topic, which is Matznitan Bishomer Chinam. Our Mishnah must be talking about a Shomer that's a Shomer Chinam, because the Mishnah says he's patur migneva and vaveda. Says that if he takes a shfua, then he's exempt. He doesn't have to pay anything for gneva and veda, which is the rules with regards to a shomer chinam. Aval b'shomer sachar, if he was a paid shliach, lo beda, it would not be true because a shomer sachar is chayav in gneva and veda. So now, Amar Rabbi Ba, v'afilu teimar b'shomer sachar. I can even come up a case where it's a shomer sachar, in a case where the gneva veda are really not gneva veda, but they're really cases of ones, cases where it was out of his control, which is nignevu, which is the way the Gemara in the Bavli always says when you want to come up with a case of nignevu where shomer sachar would be patur, is be listim mizuyan, armed robbers. So in the case of armed robbers, he is patur shomer sachar, unlike regular gneva where he is chayav. Abdu, case of Abdu is b'mish tav'a sfinato bayam, case where the boat sank in the ocean. So that's beyond his control in a sense, because boat sinking is not just like I lost them, I can't find them. That's lost because of some tragedy that happened out of his control. Amar Rabbi Yustai b'Rabbi Simon. This Rabbi Yustai b'Rabbi Simon says, again, it's a new section in the Yerushalmi, which is Achya Gmandamar Tomim ala Gavoy Valatid li Gavot. Our Mishnah is according to the one who says, and again we'll get to this later on in the Masechta, according to the one who says that when they take off the Trumat Alishka, they do it for the monies they've collected already, as well as the monies they anticipate receiving. So when they take off the Trumat Alishka, they say this is for the Shkalim that are here already, plus the Shkalim that are on their way up that are coming. That has to be the case in our Mishnah, because these items, these Chatzi Shekel, were stolen on the way up to Yerushalayim. They had yet to reach Yerushalayim. And we said here, if it happens after they were mafrish the Trumat HaLishka, they take a Shavuah to the Gizbarim. Why are they taking a Shavuah to the Gizbarim? How did it get into possession of the Gizbarim? It's only because when they were mafrish the Trumah, they said this is for what's here and what's going to come. And so therefore, the coins that are on their way are included already. They're taken over by Hekdesh at that point in time. What is it? It's going to come up. It's a procedure for how Once all the money was collected in the treasury, they had to now take out pools of money to pay for the carbonot and for what they needed. So what they did was they took off a portion of what was in the treasury to go pay for those items. That was the procedure. Then the Mishnah asked, what did they do with what was left in the treasury? I mean, there's what's called Trumat HaLishka, then there's Mutar Trumat HaLishka, and then Mutar HaLishka. They basically have excess money. So it's a way to subdivide the money. Budget for the Karbanot HaTzibur and for things that they were bringing the Machatir Shofar. Ram, Kiman Damar, Ein Tormim, Lo Ala Givui, Val Atid LaGavot. According to one who says that we don't do that, we don't attend to the coins that are coming in the future, Lo Badai, it would not be true in our Mishnah because it would remain in the possession of the people of the city until it actually reached the treasuries in Yerushalayim, and therefore our Mishnah would not be true according to them. Right now, B'nei Ha'ir Sheshalchu Et Shikleihem. So here we have a header telling us that we're on a new topic, which is Amar Rabbi Lazar de Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Shimon. So this is Rabbi Lazar ben Pedat the Amora saying that our Mishnah is definitely authored by Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is what Rabbi Shimon says, Kodashim shu chaya b'achariyotam k'nichasav hein. Kodashim, that you are responsible to replace them, they're like your nichasim. So therefore, why is there a responsibility here of the shlichim? The shlichim are responsible here because these are nechasim sheish lem achrayut. The people of the city are responsible to replace these chatzi shekel. Since they're responsible to replace these chatzi shekel, it's as if it's money of lay people. It's money of lay people, then there's responsibility both to replace it and responsibility in terms of taking a shvuah on it. Because if it's really for Hekdesh, then you don't take a shvuah on Hekdesh. That's one of the exemptions that is brought by the shomrim, is that shomrim only takes shvuah to lay people, they don't take shvuot to Hekdesh. On the other hand, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, the Baal Plukta of Rabbi Lazar ben Pedatir, Divrei Akolhi, Mishum Shvuat Takana. He says, no, it is Divrei Akol, and the shvuah here is not necessarily shvuat HaShomrim, but a Takanat Chachamim. And the Gemara later on will ask, what exactly is this Takanat Chachamim? But he says that it's an institution of the Chachamim to make the Shvuah, not necessarily the Shvuah Doraita of Shomrim. So it could be, even according to the Rabbanan who say it, it's in the possession of Hekdesh, nevertheless, the Shomrim will still have to take a Shvuah over here. Al Datei de Rabbi Yochanan, Necha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes sense, Nishbaim leGizbarim. You take a Shvuah to the Gizbarim. Vim Lav, Nishbaim leBnei Ha'ir. And if not, then they take a Shvuah to Bnei Ha'ir, uBnei Ha'ir Shuklim Acharim Tachtehem. And then the Bnei Ha'ir have to replace them. I mean, according to Rabbi Yochanan, there's two stages. There's a stage where it's in possession of the Bnei Ha'ir. In that case, you take a shvuah to the Bnei Ha'ir, and they have to replace them. There's a stage when it is in the hands of Hekdesh. In the hands of Hekdesh, you take a shvuah to the Gizbarim. So that makes sense. Rabbi Yochanan can subdivide in that way. Ella, the Rabbi Lazar, according to Rabbi Lazar, Nishba'im the Bnei Ha'ir, Hadahi de Rabbi Shimon. They take a shvuah to Bnei Ha'ir. That makes sense, because that's Rabbi Shimon. Nishbarim the Gizbarim. That they take a shvuah to Gizbarim. Gizbarim, I have itayu. What did Gizbarim have anything to do with this? I mean, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's in your possession until it actually reaches Hekdesh. It says it's in your possession until it reaches Hekdesh. There's only one party here. The only party are the Bnei Ha'ir. So why in the Mishnah are you taking a shvuah to the Gizbarim? So the Gemara answer is no. Nishbarim the Bnei Ha'ir, the Ma'amad Gizbarim. They take the shvuah to the Bnei Ha'ir. But in the presence of the treasurers of the Mikdash, Keheche delo lichshadinu, so they will not suspect them. Now, not suspect them here is that the Gizbarim will not suspect that the Bnei Ha'ir didn't pay their chatzi shekel. They're late now. They're not getting their money from the city. So they say, wait, a whole city, nothing coming in from there. What's going on? So they take a shvuah that they really sent. It got lost, and now they're going to have to recollect on it, so it's going to be late. Their payments are going to be late, so they just mark it down. So that's why they do it. But all the shvuot, according to Rabbi Elazar, go to the Bnei Ha'ir. Inami, another possibility is, lo nishav lehu poshim. So they will not be considered poshim, negligent here. Meaning that once the shlichim have responsibility to Hekdesh after nitrama truma, even though technically there's no responsibility, but since they're more in the possession of Hekdesh now, they will have to take a shvuah, even in a case where they really didn't have to take a shvuah, which is this upcoming case, which is
Afalpi shekiblu bnei Ha'ir l'shalem in Hekdesh yotze below shvuah.
Even though the Bnei Ha'ir agreed to replace the money and to pay up, nevertheless the takana is that we're not going to let you go without taking a shvuah. So even though the Bnei Ha'ir say, look, we're paying up, so there's no reason to take a shvuah over here. We're going to be poter the shlichim from a shvuah, because they are ne'aman to us. The Bnei Ha'ir says, look, these shlichim are ne'aman to us. We don't need a shvuah for them. We're just going to pay up. Nevertheless, we impose on them a shvuah
Because we don't want Hekdesh to just go out willy-nilly without their taking a Shavua. So we impose as part of the Takana. They must take an additional Shavua because we want them to be more responsible the next time around. We want to try to inculcate in them that this is a serious issue and that they shouldn't just take it willy-nilly. Right now, Hifrishiklo Vavad. He separates out the shekel and he loses it. So this is on a personal level, not when it's the whole city, but on a personal level. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Chayav Biachriyoto, Aj Yibzeren on the Gizbar. You're responsible for the Machatzit shekel until it reaches the hands of the Gizbar, until it reaches the treasury. Shimon Lakish Omer, Hekdesh Vishut Gavoa B'chol Makom Shu. Once it becomes Hekdesh, it belongs to Hekdesh. Hekdesh has ownership anywhere it wants, the way the Bavli terms this is. God's not limited to one place. Therefore, Hekdesh is owned by God wherever it's found, and it's already in the treasury. It's as if it was already collected by Hekdesh wherever it is, and therefore you wouldn't be responsible for it. Matznita Pliga Arab Shimon Lakish. Our Mishnah is difficult for Rav Shimon Lakish because Nishbaim the Bnei Ayir, Ubnei Ayir Shochlim Tachtehem. So they take a Shavua to Bnei Ayir, and now the Bnei Ayir have to replace it. The fact that the Bnei Ayir have to replace it shows you that it's not in the possession of Hekdesh, but rather it's in their possession, and they have to replace the coins. So Gemara says, the way the Girsa of the Gra is over here,
Odhi Mishum Takana, meaning,
Hachanami tashlumim d'bnei Ayir nami mishum takana. Kidei shu abalim nizarim bishmiratam. It says over here, wait a minute. The only reason that over there they took a shvua was because of takana. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that the whole point of the shvua is for a takana. It says the point of the shvua is a takana. We can say the same thing over here. And Rabbi Shimon Lakish can answer, the reason that the Mishnah is telling them to take a Shavua is not because they're really responsible for it and they have to pay up, but the reason that we're making them take a Shavua, plus we're making them pay again, is because we want them to be more careful next time. We want to engender a different perspective towards the Shkalim. So how do we do that? We force them to pay again, even though they're not responsible. They don't have to pay. Really, they're exempt because the money is in Hekdesh's possession already. So why do they take a Shavua? Mishum Takana. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said on the Mishnah. Why are they going to pay again? Mishum takana. Again, it's the chachamim trying to force the people to be more responsible in the future. The next part of the Gemara Tana. Harishonim noflim the taklin chadatin, vashniim noflim the taklin atikin. Here where the Bnei Ayir pay in twice, they paid once, it was lost, now they pay in again, then they find it. So now they have two piles of money. So they say the first ones go into the new year's shekel, into the new, the upcoming fiscal year. And the second ones go into the previous year's budget. So now, Mara asks the obvious question, Elohein Arishonim, Elohein Ashniim. Which ones are first, and which ones are second? So Rabbi Pinchas, Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Abba Mori. So you have two Amoraim, and within these two Amoraim, you have two opinions as to what happens with them. Chanamar, Elush HaShokhu Bnei Ayir Tchila. What we would have thought is the ones that they sent first. The first set of monies that they sent are the first of the Shkalim, and therefore that's what's called first over here. No, whoever gets to the treasury first, those are the first ones. So if the second payment got there and then they found the original money, then the second payment is the one that got there first. So first can either be determined by which ones were separated to be Shkalim first, or once they reach the treasury, when they're actually in the treasury, those can be the first, and that's the Machloket Amoraim over here. Okay, next Mishnah. Anotein shiklo lechaviro lishkola yodo. He gives a chatzi shekel to his friend to take up and pay for him in Yerushalayim. Shiklo ayidei atzmo. Instead, the guy uses it for his own. Right, he basically hijacks the money and he uses it for his own chatzi shekel. Im nitruma truma. If they're already mafrish the truma in the mikdash already, then ma'al. He's ma'al because the coins already belongs to Hekdesh. Since it belongs to Hekdesh, he's now getting hana from Hekdesh. He took a coin that belonged to his friend that was Machatzit HaShekel, and he used it to discharge his obligation. Now, the Hana is not necessarily that he paid the Machatzit HaShekel, because there's no transference of ownership. He pays his own Machatzit HaShekel, it belonged to Hekdesh, and it still belongs to Hekdesh. Just a question of who it's assigned to.
And in addition, mitzvot, lav lehenot nidnu. Mitzvot are not given to benefit from them or get Hana from them.
So therefore, there's no Me'ilah of Hana there. What's the Me'ilah? Is that Beit Din won't come after him now to take a mashkon. His benefit is now, it looks like he paid. And so now it looks like he paid. He benefits from the fact that they won't chase him down to take a mashkon from him. So that's the Hana. That Hana is what causes the Mi'ilah, the misappropriation of Hekdesh, and then he'll have to bring a Korban Mi'ilah and pay it back. Hashokel Shiklo Min HaHekdesh.
Someone who pays his chetzi shekel from money that is already hekdesh. V'nitruma truma. And then the truma was already taken off. V'kreva ha-behema. And the behema was brought on the mizbeach. Ma'al. In that case, he's ma'al. So over here, you have a difference between this and the first piece of the Mishnah. According to some of the Rishonim, this v'karva behema modifies both parts of the Mishnah. According to others, it's only in the second half of the Mishnah. We'll go with that position. It's only the second half of the Mishnah. What's different here? What's different over here is the money is already Hekdesh. Since the money is already Hekdesh and in the possession of Hekdesh, you are simply giving it to the Lishka is not going to do anything over here because the money was already designated to be for a Korban. Since the money was designated to be a Korban, that means that it owned, quote-unquote, an animal or was going to be used for Berakah Bayit. And that means that it was going to buy something that has depreciation to it or loses value. And there's a din in Mi'ilah. If you use something from Hekdesh that has permanent value or is stable, so for instance, a cup or a goblet. So a cup or a goblet which maintains its value and stays whole, then in order to be chayav for mi'ilah, you have to utilize it. You have to get hana of a shave pruta. You have to get hana from this object. So drinking from it would be enough to make you chayav. On the other hand, when you have something that says davar shenifgam, an object that loses value. So for instance, a behema that's going to hekdesh, or items that are going to be used in the building of the mikdash that are going to be changed in nature or destroyed in some way, then you're only chayav for milah when nifgam, when you actually take that value down or you do something that. So for instance, food items that they're given to be dashed, unless you eat them and you destroy them in that sense, there is no mi'ilah. The point being over here is that in the first case, where the coin is going to the machatzita shekel, and that's the intention. The intention is simply to get it to machatzita shekel. That's what the payment is for. Then if you can simply get hana, that's enough to make you chayav in mi'ilah. In the second case, where the hekdesh already, and that's designated for something else, then that designation already is going to be purchasing something that will depreciate or diminish in value. And therefore, in order for you to be chayav, you have to have something that actually diminishes in value for you to be chayav. So not only do you have to give the chatzis shekel in, but then you also have to buy the behema with it. And then once they use the behema, then you've had that depreciation or that loss in value, or nifgam, that's when something's changed in the object, that's when you're chayav. At that point, you become chayav in mi'ilah. So that's the difference between the first case and the second case in the Mishnah. Mimaser sheni umidvei shvi'it. If he pays his chatzis shekel from something that was otherwise monies of maaser sheni, or otherwise monies of shvi'it, yochal kenegdan. Then what he does is he can redeem that money or that hekdesh, maaser sheni, or that shvi'it onto coins somewhere else. The Gemara will give us how you do this at the end of today's daf. But basically you can transfer the kedusha off of where it is to you, and then those coins will go to machatzis shekel without any problem. Okay, now next, Gemara says, Hashokel, Anan Taninan. We have in our Mishnah, in Kirva Beima, that if the Beima was brought, and Vitani Bei Rabbi, Im Nitruma Hatruma. So the question of what means over here, we have in our Mishnah, Kirva Beima, and Rabbi has in his Mishnah, Im Nitruma Hatruma. In our Mishnah, they both appear there. So that tells you maybe there were different Nuschaot in the Mishnah. But basically, what the Gemara is saying is that we have two things that are mentioned in our Mishnah. Number one is that Beima was already brought. And number two is im nitruma truma. The only problem that he has here is if the truma was already taken off.
According to the Karban Eidah and others, they're talking about the ratio of the Mishnah. The ratio of our Mishnah only has im nitruma hatruma, and the Bei Rabbi also added in on top of that im karva behema. Now the Karban Eidah's explanation relies on the Girsa of the Gemara that we did not read, which is the Nusach Achorino, and based on that Nusach Achorino, our Mishnah has in Nitra Truma, but only has about the Behema and the latter half. Whereas the Breit of Rabbi has it in both the Reisha and the Seifa, and that's what I mentioned before, there's a Machloket in the Rishonim, as to whether that latter line applies both to the Seifa and the Reisha, or just to the Seifa.
Man Tana im Nitra Truma. Who's the only Tana that it makes a difference for that the Truma was taken off? Gemara says, Rabbi Shimoni. Ta'ama Rabbi Shimon miyad haya mikabel ma'utav. That they get paid right away. These are the workers who work for Hekdesh, that they get paid immediately. They get paid immediately because we assume that they're doing the work or they're going to do whatever they're supposed to do immediately. And therefore, we're willing to give them the money of Hekdesh to pay them for their services right away. So what you see from this is that according to Rabbi Shimon, that im nitruma truma, if the truma is taken off already, then you're in trouble. Because our assumption is, in Nitra Truma, they've already started to allocate that money and use the money of Hekdesh.
And since we are paying the suppliers to Hekdesh immediately, even before whatever is being purchased is used or put on the Mizbeach, therefore the money goes out to Chulin right away, and that's why in Nitra Truma, already there's a problem of Mi'ilah. Whereas according to the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Shimon, they don't pay the suppliers until the Mizbeach is Miratzeh. Until the Mizbeach is okay. That means we wait until to see if the animals are pasul. We wait to make sure that the mincha doesn't have worms in it. We wait till the Mizbeach is done. That means that we don't pay out money from the Lishka until post they're bringing over the Korban. And therefore, the threshold in the Mishnah of Nitruma Truma would not be true according to them. According to them, it would only be Misha Garva HaBehema. After the Behema is already brought, and then we allocate the money to them. So therefore, this Mishnah must be authored by Rabbi Shimon.
Kasha, we have a question. Ilu agonev olotov shel chavero v'shachato stam. If a person simply steals his friend's ola and then shechs it without saying anything, stama lo l'shem balim arishonim mechaperet, doesn't it automatically go for the first balim? I mean, if you do nothing to change the status quo of the ola, then the ola is assumed to be owned by the individual who brought it originally, even though you stole it. But when you shecht it, if you didn't change anything, the assumption is it belongs to the original owner. So too, over here, with regards to the chatzis shekel that you're putting into the bucket, how to change it? Your buddy said, this is my chatzis shekel, take it up to Yerushalayim. All of a sudden, you pay it in your name. If you just throw it into the basket, how do they know that it belongs to you and not the other guy? It should accrue towards the other guy who sent it up there. So Amar Rabbi Yudan, says, Tipater b'misuyam, where it's well defined. It's obvious that the coin belongs to your name. So you have Reuven and Shimon over here. And Shimon put his name on the coin. Now he takes it up to Yerushalayim and he pays it in on his behalf. And it's Reuven's coin. So now since Reuven is Misuyam, is well defined, then we know that you misused it or you used it for your own purposes. Just like Michel Beit Rabbi Gamliel, the Gra eliminates most of what's left here, Shem Mitkavein, that he was Mitkavein, that when he threw the coin in, that it would be on the top so that it would get put into the Chumat HaLishka and used towards the monies for the Karbanot. So therefore, there are times where we know whose coin it is. Then when we know whose coin it is, then you can have a problem in terms of giving it when it belongs to someone else.
So whether it's because you're a significant individual like Rabban Gamliel, when the person's going to be Toreim, you can recognize that this is Rabbi Gamliel's coin because he's an Adam Chashuv. Or whether it's because your name is now on this coin, so therefore it identifies with you. In each of these cases, you're not just Stam anymore. You're not just a default or an anonymous giver, but rather your name is associated with the coin. And that's why it's not similar to the case of the Korban when you shecht it Stam, that it belongs to the original Balim. Over here, because of your presence, because you're Chashuv, or because you wrote your name on it, you've actually changed the coin from being under the ownership of your friend to yourself.
So then Umar says, wait a minute, V'chash lomar shema l'shirayim hei noflim. In the Mishnah it says, well, when they use the money, when the Truma is already taken off, or that the Truma is used to pay for Behemoth, then you're going to be Chayav and Mi'ilah. Well, how do you know that that money fell into the grouping that was used for the paying of the Karbanot? When they do the Trumat HaLishka, it's an allocation of money, there's leftovers, there's Shirayim, there's what's left over. V'mi'iyesh Mi'ilah b'Shirayim. There's no Mi'ilah in the Shirayim, Ela k'Rabbi Meir. So it must be that it's like Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir Omer, Mo'alim b'Shirayim. Yes, there is an opinion like that. Rabbi Meir says you are Mo'el in the Shirayim. Od, which means like another possible answer here, Odi b'Misuyam Shobet Rabbi Gamliel. Same that we said before, which is that the coin is obvious who it belongs to. So we know for sure that that coin went into the Truma. We know that coin was used to pay for Behema because we saw it. And that when he threw his coin in, he made sure it went into the pile that was taken off for the monies that were given in to pay for the Karbanot. So if the coin was defined and we can see that it went towards the Karbanot, then we'll know for sure that he's going to be chayav in that case. Ma nene, what does it mean that he got hana over here that there's mi'ilah? So Amma Rabbi Avin b'shem Rabbonan de Taman says over in the same name of the Rabbanim from there means from Bavel. Mikevan shebeitin ru'in lemashkein. Since Beitin could take a collateral from him because he didn't pay, velo mashkano, and they don't take a commotion and it's as if he's getting hana from it. It is interesting, this has to be reconciled with the Gemara in Baba Kama, the Sugi in the Bavli in Baba Kama, what's called Mavriya Chari, that if you pay off somebody's debts so that the creditors no longer come after him, that's what's called Mavriya Chari. First of all, the person that you paid off the debts for is not obligated to pay you back. And number two is if he's no der hana from you, that's not necessarily hana. Because you didn't give him benefits, you just stopped a lion from coming and eating him. Basically, you stopped the creditors from chasing him down, but you yourself didn't give him any direct hana'ah. So over here too, you're not really giving him direct hana'ah, you're just preventing the collection against him, which was what we called mavriach ari, and that has to be reconciled with the bavli. Now, the last piece of the Mishnah, which was Maaser Sheni Ushviit. So it says, Dechtiv, it says in the Pasuk, Ach Bechor, Asher
Yivukar,
Lashem Babayimah. So the Bechor that is automatically Hagdesh, as brought as a Karban to Hashem, Lo Yagdish Ishoto, you're not allowed to be Magdishit. And something that's already Hagdesh, you can't put on top of that additional Hagdesh. So Kol Shu Kodesh, En Kedusha Chalalav. Here's a principle that anything that's already Kodesh, you can't have other Kedusha Bichalav. Ketzad Hu Oseh. So then what does he do in this case where it's Maaser Sheni or Shvit that already is Kodesh and he wants to make it into Machatzit HaShekel and he put it into the treasury? Now, how does he deal with that? So the Gemara is, Mevi Sela Shel Chulin. He brings a coin that is Chulin. The Sela is a full shekel. V'omer, Ma'ot Maaser Sheni. V'machol Makom Sheini Yu Mechululim Al Sela Zu. The Ma'ot Maaser Sheni, wherever they are, the Ma'ot Maaser Sheni that were put into the Lishka, they should now be transferred, their Kedusha, to this Sela, this coin that I'm holding in my hand. Bota Sela Nipas L'Shem Maaser Sheni, and the one that he's holding in his hand will now become Maaser Sheni. And Ashar Naseh Shkalim. Or the Girsa, according to the Gra, is Va Rishonim Nasu Shkalim. The original coins that you put into the treasury, those become Shkalim, because you've now transferred the Kedusha away from them onto the coin that's in your hand. You've moved the Kedusha Maaser Sheni onto the coin, the Kedusha Shvit onto the coin. And the shkalim that are now in the Mikdash are chulin and transferred to Hekdesh to pay for the shkalim, and now they become Hekdesh for shkalim. Okay, we'll stop over here.